Well, the tourism industry in coastal communities has already seen losses from the coronavirus shutdown. Some local governments are preparing to reopen to visitors by Memorial Day, and residents are torn between health and economic concerns. Joining me now is Tamron Kugler, Director of Travel and Tourism for Currituck County. Tamron, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on today.
Oh, it's good to have you, and also Samantha Crisp, who is the director of the Outer Banks History Center in Manteo. Hello, Samantha.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on today.
Good to have you. Tamron, tell us about what the coronavirus shutdown has looked like in Currituck County.
Well, tourism is Currituck County's number one economic driver. So this virus has shut down the majority of our tourism-related businesses, and our vacation rental management companies are among those that have been the hardest hit. So it's been a little devastating down here.
Who's been able to have access to the beach and when? Is there any access yet?
Well, there was a travel ban put on back in March, which only allowed residents of Currituck County and some of the surrounding counties to access the beach area of Currituck, which is Corrala and Corova, the off-road area. A couple of weeks ago, we started allowing our non-resident property owners into the county for a couple of reasons, mainly so that they could get in and get their houses ready for the summer rental market. So a lot of these non-resident property owners will come up and spruce their houses up and get them ready for our vacationers.
And what about the going forward? Is the next, the next date might be May 22nd?
The counties are looking at May 22nd. We're sort of talking about two counties here in the Outer Banks. There's Currituck County and Dare County, and we share a bridge. The bridge coming over from Currituck takes us into Dare County, and then you make that left and wander up to Currituck and Corrala. So they are trying very hard, our leadership on both ends, to coordinate a reentry schedule. They're looking at May 22nd, but of course that's going to depend a lot on guidance from the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services and the Albemarle Regional Health Services. So they're taking their cues from the medical community and from the governor.
Now, Tamron, you're at the start of the summer season, but the coronavirus has already affected the tourism industry. Who's feeling the impact?
Pretty much all of us are. Particularly the businesses that are tourism-related. A lot of our residents are employed by the tourism industry. So when the businesses have to shut down, that also affects who they employ. So our residents have been hard hit. We're not getting that visitor spending. So when our visitors come and they enjoy our services and our goods and our products, that sales tax that they generate is really what helps this county run. It provides all the services that we need in the county. So there's a kind of a ripple effect in that sense. So the county's going to have to be making some hard decisions, too, when we don't see that kind of sales tax-generated income coming in that we normally see.
Well, and I just found out today, I mean, talk about the sales tax and obviously the spending that comes in and money that gets spent in the communities, but I just found out today that the town of Wrightsville makes more money from parking meters than from property tax. Didn't know that.
I wouldn't doubt it. When you have that influx of tourism coming in, for example, our small little county can see up to 50, it can be go from 12,000 residents around during the regular season to up to 50,000 changing out each and every week, sometimes up to 100,000. So when you have that kind of high season, you have that kind of visitation, that kind of money that's being generated, you really do depend on that. The sad thing is that we're seeing now is that it's also a very fragile economy. Tourism is subject to natural disasters, most importantly hurricanes, but this is an unprecedented natural disaster that we're facing, and we're taking it day by day.
Well, Samantha, that to that point, this is really not the first crisis the Outer Banks has experienced, quite obviously, although maybe the first of its kind. How does the coronavirus, though, compare to historical disasters? Mostly we think about weather. How does this compare?
Absolutely right to bring up that hurricane comparison there. I would say it's different in the sense that so much of this crisis is unknown and unseen. There's no expiration date on this. We have no real idea how it will affect our community, no idea when it will start to get better or if it will start to get worse before it gets better. But, you know, like you said, the Outer Banks has always historically been very good at handling crises that come up, and especially in terms of storms. And the one kind of great comparison that I can see to this sort of crisis that we're in is the Ash Wednesday storm of 1962. And that was a very devastating nor'easter that hit in the early spring of 1962 that damaged something like 25% of the structures across the Outer Banks. Hundreds of people were without homes. Tons of businesses were destroyed. Roads were completely washed out. And we were actually able to come together as a community in that instance and sort of get back together and reopen for the summer season despite this very devastating thing that happened. And we did it by, you know, sort of uniting together and helping each other and also improving the way that we manage emergencies in this county. And so that storm in particular is one of the earliest instances where you see this sort of tiered reentry process that all of these coastal counties are using right now, where, you know, local residents are allowed in first, non-resident property owners after that, and then visitors after that to kind of stem that tide.
We're talking about coastal North Carolina and looking forward to the opening of the beach season, what the coronavirus shutdown looks like now and going forward. Let's hear from one of the business owners, from Jazz Undy, who's a resident and a business owner in Wrightsville Beach, about his concern for his art gallery.
My biggest fear, probably for me personally, is that I'm going to lose my business. And I've worked very hard. I've been through hurricanes, and I don't get any stimulus money. I don't get any hurricane relief money. I've fought really hard to stay in this game, and I'm worried that opportunity, no matter how hard I try, will be taken from me, because if I can't pay my rent, I can't stay here. And I really love being here. I love my community. I probably have the best job. So many people are supportive and come and visit me every day, and dogs visit every day. And it's not about money to me anymore. It's about what I do.
That's Jazz Undy. He's the owner of an art gallery in Wrightsville Beach. I'm here with Tamron Kugler, Director of Travel and Tourism for Currituck County, and Samantha Crisp, who's the Director of the Outer Banks History Center. Tamron, what is that opening going to look like? Tell us more about the possibility of a May 22nd reopen date and what it might look like.
Well, I think it's going to be different. We're hoping that we're going to see our visitors coming back. From all the statistics and all the data that's been gathered across the tourism industry in the United States, we know that there's a lot of pent-up traveler demand, and people are ready to get out of their homes. But I hate to, you know, there's that old cliche that's been overused called the new normal. But I do believe that things will be a little bit different. I believe we'll see different kinds of safety measures being put into place, things that we didn't see before, masks, gloves, sneeze guards, safety protocols. A lot of our businesses are putting together the protocols that they're doing in their businesses to let the visitors, as they're coming in, know what they're doing to keep themselves and their visitors safe. So I want to call it a new normal. I think we've learned a lot from this. I think we'll be doing things differently in the future, even after the coronavirus.
But let's talk a little bit more about that, Samantha, and that is the health side of this and some of the concerns that you may be hearing from residents in the area about maybe even opening too fast. What are you hearing?
Right, yeah. So most of the fear that I've sort of encountered from the local community stems from basically a lack of resources. The Outer Banks area is really very much a small town, and so we get a lot of visitors, obviously, during the summer, and we're well equipped to handle that. But, you know, when it's just us out here, we don't have a lot of access to things that most larger cities have. So our grocery stores, for instance, it's very difficult to find necessary items or to keep them in stock. Our hospital doesn't have that many beds to accommodate any kind of major health crisis like this. So everyone that I'm, you know, sort of speaking with is just sort of nervous about what do we do when we get these thousands of new people in here when we're already struggling to take care of the population that's here. And that's kind of the main sort of fear that people have.
And it's not only residents who are concerned with reopening too quickly. Let's hear from Terry Smith, who lives in Durham and owns a house in Wrightsville Beach. At Wrightsville Beach, users are allowed to use the beach for exercise, but lounging is prohibited.
My concerns with the pandemic lie with just opening up too soon. I definitely understand the need to get the economy going, but I just don't want it to be all or nothing. I think right now with just the the restriction just to be able to walk and exercise and swim is good. As much as I would like to be sitting out there on the beach and, you know, just enjoying the sun, it's okay. I'd rather just take our time.
That was Terry Smith, a non-permanent resident of Wrightsville Beach. I'm here with Tamron Kugler, who's the Director of Travel and Tourism for Currituck County, and Samantha Crisp, Director of the Outer Banks History Center. Well, Samantha, how do you think these tensions are going to play out? I mean, clearly people are worried. They understand the need to bring the tourists on. What do you think it's going to look like as the beaches do start to fill up?
That's a really good question. And, you know, honestly, I think it remains to be seen. I think a lot of us are, you know, very much looking forward to having our visitors come back and stimulate our economy and support us and see people around and help bring our businesses sort of back to life. But, you know, I do think there's going to be a little bit of an air of just caution and being a little bit reserved in how we interact with these groups when they come here.
I mean, that's on the site, you know, folks who are already there. But I wonder, too, about tourists reading, for instance, the press that Dare County got for some people posting anti-visitor flyers on cars. I mean, what might be the impact on tourists?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. I unfortunately, because none of us has ever been through a crisis like this before in our lifetimes, and it's new to all of us, I think a lot of tension is sort of manifesting itself as anger or as, you know, kind of just a desire to protect ourselves, right? And none of us really have been in this situation before, and it's all new to us. And so I would say, overwhelmingly, we really want people to come back here. We really want our visitors to come back here. In addition to that protest that you mentioned, there are also locals, you know, holding out signs welcoming people across the bridge when we first opened up. It goes either way, but we're just trying to be, I think, cautious about it.
Tamron, I know that events and festivals are a big part of the summer tourist draw. Have you determined, you know, whether or how those events might go on?
Well, we're improvising. We actually have a big concert during Memorial Day weekend called the Memorial Day Beach Blast. Because of the uncertainty of what's going on and when things will reopen and what that means and what group gathering sizes mean, we're actually going to live stream the concert without an audience. So we're going to still have our bands, we're going to set up, but we're going to be live streaming it so people can enjoy the concert from their living rooms and do some beach music dancing. We're improvising. We might have to cancel a few. It's really going to depend upon group gathering sizes going forward, but we are looking at different ways to still have events without people actually being there. So
we can watch from our backyards if we have a sandbox. So
you can bring a bucket of sand in your living room.
Yes.
and a cooler and spread out a blanket. And
be something to do, wouldn't it? Yeah, Samantha, I know you've been working on with the State Archives to record and document what's happening to people. Why is this important?
That's a really good question. And, you know, the one biggest request that I've been getting from people since this happened is, you know, how did the Outer Banks respond to other sort of medical epidemics like the flu pandemic of 1918 or something like that? And the sad thing is we actually have very little documentation of that in our collection here at the Outer Banks History Center. It's because in a time of crisis, kind of the last thing on your mind is how do I preserve this information for the future? And that's why that's the first thing on the State Archives' mind, is because we know, you know, archivists know that people look to the past to learn how to deal with crises like this. And so we are in the process of asking our community members to contribute to a project called Your Story is North Carolina's Story, where we're collecting any kind of like personal reflections, photographs, journal entries, audiovisual materials, printed materials, that sort of thing, that documents what it's like to be a North Carolinian in this moment in time during this crisis. And so if you go onto the State Archives website, you can see all the information about how to contribute to that. But that's what we're trying to sort of do. We're looking to the future for future researchers and future generations who want to study this.
Samantha Crisp is director of the Outer Banks History Center. Tamron Kugler is director of travel and tourism for Currituck County. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you so much.